You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
And when a woman tells me that, she's also telling me that she does not understand submission, because submission is entirely in place for when a wife disagrees with her husband. She would not have to submit to her husband if she agreed with him.
But hold on, let me stop here, though. But it also says a fool does not confer with his wife. So you give her voice. What do you think? Mm-hmm. But then he takes to shoulder the responsibility of his decision.
Yeah, so Genesis 2:18 says it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper or help me. And some women kind of recoil at that. But interestingly, Rhett, when God says, I will make man a helper, that's a commentary on man's inadequacy. If there's anyone who's being criticized in that verse, it's man, because God is saying man needs help. Man is inadequate or insufficient. I will provide this powerful, strong person in a wife who can be the help or give him the help. It's like God looked down and said, Scott LaPierre and Rhett Palmer need help. I need to give them wives. They're not going to make it on their own. Now, one of the primary ways, which you just mentioned, which I think is incredibly important to share, that wives help their husbands is by offering counsel, thoughts, advice, suggestions, criticism. There have been numerous times where I've left an event or a conversation, and then Katie said, you know, you interrupted the person. You weren't listening very well. Your joke was rude. You shouldn't have said that. And that's a very helpful thing for Katie to do for me. Now,
we don't have to do that with women. I mean, they're all like that. I mean, but they're a great gift because of that. So mm-hmm. How come they don't need correction like that generally?
Well, I believe that's part of marriage. It does go both ways. It should be done. There are ways to do it. Like generally, I appreciate that Katie corrects me, but she generally does it privately. Yeah. She does it respectfully. She doesn't do it in front of the kids. Like I was having this argument with one of my kids and Katie pulled me aside in the bedroom and she's like, you know, I was watching that argument and our daughter looked more mature than you did. And so then she allows me to leave the bedroom and then go ask my apologize to my daughter and ask her to forgive me for the way that I was talking. Now, Katie didn't chew me out in front of the kids, you know, disrespect me and make me look bad to them. She talked to me privately and then allowed me to go out and apologize. Let's just say there's a man that comes to talk to me and he asks me about something. He says, I don't know if I should take this job or buy this house or move here, whatever it is. One of the first things I say to men is, what did your wife say? You know, Rhett, I'll ask guys, what was your wife's counsel in this situation? And if he says, well, I haven't asked her yet, then I'll say, you should have asked her before you asked me, because she's the helper God has given you. I'm your pastor. I'm one of the elders here. I can appreciate you coming to me for counsel, but I really believe God wants to advise husbands through their wives.
Yep.
And so, you know, second to, or third, I guess, behind God's word and the Holy Spirit, the greatest resource that we have as men is our wives. And the man who will not listen to his wife is being incredibly foolish or even silencing God's voice in his life. Now, with that said, if a husband and wife have talked at length, a husband has valued his wife's thoughts, suggestions, opinions, and considered everything she's had to say, but they still disagree, how does the relationship go forward? You know, do they flip a coin? Is it paper, rock, scissors? At that moment, God says that the husband becomes the decision maker and the wife puts herself behind the husband so that the relationship can go forward. And so a woman, when she submits, she's not agreeing with the idea. In fact, she disagrees with the idea. That's why it's submission. If I tell my kids to go play outside, they don't have to submit. They want to play outside. My kids have to submit when I want to do something that they don't like. And so when a wife says, well, I would submit to my husband if I agreed with him, she clearly doesn't understand the way that submission works. Submission is in place entirely for when a wife disagrees with her husband. Now, again,
says ostensibly, though, okay, I've given you my opinion. You're going to make the decision, but you're going to shoulder the buck stops with him then.
That's exactly right, Ray. And I've told wives that. A wife will say, you know, what if he makes, in 1 Peter 3, it talks about women being terrified, the terror that a woman experiences submitting. And I'll tell a wife, you are not held responsible for the right decision being made. That rests on your husband's shoulders. And you said that really well, Rhett, because if a wife was responsible with the right decision being made, then she would have to basically keep arguing. She would never submit. If God told a wife, make sure the right decision is made in your family, then he would also be telling her to never stop pushing or arguing. But instead, God says, submit, follow your husband's lead. If he makes the wrong decision, then that is going to be on his shoulders. And I'll tell you this was a few times where this has happened. I've had to make a major decision for our family. Katie has shared her thoughts with me. And then she sat back and said, I've told you what I think. I love you. I respect you. I will support whatever decision you decide, but you're the one who has to decide. When a wife tells her husband that, she is putting an incredibly huge burden on his shoulders, because it's like Katie says, I'm putting my life and our family in your hands and trusting you to make the right decision. Well, any godly man who hears something like that for his wife, the first thing he's going to do is pray, you know, read the word, seek. He's going to become a more spiritual man because he wants to make the right decision for his family. But honestly, there's a lot of men who never really feel that responsibility rest on their shoulders because they don't have wives placing that burden there. And so wives should say, hey, this is what I think. I have given you my counsel, but ultimately you have to make the decision and I will support whatever you decide.
Well, we're right on the money here with all this, and there's just so much. Love is a choice. Love is a decision. Love is not a feeling, because feelings come and go.
It's exactly right. It's a cloudy day today.
I know I'm feeling love now. I have to change the diaper. No, it's a decision. It's a choice. Now, I do want to know. Now, Gary Smalley, he's had that book, The Languages of Love.
Five Love Languages.
Yeah, so because somebody might give you gifts. If she gives you gifts, well, that's probably a telltale sign that love language for her is gifts, but it may not be yours. I mean, he's had phenomenal success with that. Have you ever shared the stage with him?
I haven't, but I think there's the way, what comes to mind for me regarding his approach, 1 Peter 3:7 commands husbands to dwell with their wives in an understanding way, or dwell with them according to knowledge. So basically, one of the primary commands for husbands is to learn their wives. We learn our wives so that we can understand them and treat them the way that they want to be treated within the boundaries of God's word. And so that's kind of what he's talking about with the love languages, is that you learn how your spouse feels loved. And so for me, I'll give an example. Katie's super visionary. She has lots of ideas, and I'm embarrassed that this had to happen. But she told me one time, because she has lots of ideas, I know that there's not that much potential for all of them to happen. I haven't always been as attentive or interested as I should. So she came to talk to me this one time, and I had hurt her feelings. And she said, you know, Scott, I know that you know that many of my ideas might not ever happen, but I would still really appreciate it if you listened to me and didn't make me feel silly. And I said, you're right. I'm very sorry. Please forgive me. And so since then, I believe I've tried.
And not just hear, but actually listen and chew on and contemplate, you know?
Yeah. And she has lots of good ideas. She's a wise, godly woman, but I wasn't. So my point is that for Katie to feel loved, she wants me to listen to her and be interested. And it's sad when there's men that know more about sports or cars or, you know, their favorite team than they know about their wives. And one guy said, get your PhD on your wife. Learn as much as you can about this woman that you're going to do life with. And if you talk to most women, they will share that they feel loved by being learned and understood, that it is very meaningful for women to have a husband who knows and understands them, which is exactly what 1 Peter 3:7 commands. And similarly, women must learn how their husbands feel respected and then strive to treat them that way. And I'll give an example. I used to talk too quickly. I'm not sure if I seem like I talked too quickly in this interview.
No, you don't.
Okay. But I definitely used to talk too quickly. Katie helped me with that, because I would be preaching and she would take her hand and she'd move it up and down like this and tell me to slow down. Another woman observed Katie doing that while I was preaching. And this woman went up to Katie and said, hey, does your husband know that you're going like this with your hand? Or sometimes I start to say something I shouldn't say, and Katie brings her hand across her neck. You know, she's heard me preach so many times, heard all my stories, attended all the conferences with me. So she knows when I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. So she'll put her hand across her neck and say, like, hey, you know, don't say this.
Yeah.
And so a woman saw her doing this, went to talk to her and said, hey, you know, doesn't it bother your husband? And doesn't he find it disrespectful when you're doing this? And Katie said, no, he finds it helpful. There's a guy that came to me and said, hey, and he saw the same thing. He said, when you're preaching, your wife's doing this. Does that bother you? And I said, no, I find it very helpful. There's other times that we've left someplace and I told Katie, hey, when you said that, You know, I found that to be disrespectful. So wives similarly, and Katie was surprised. I could tell by the look on Katie's face, by her shock, that she did not know that I found her behavior to be disrespectful. So the point is, just like husbands must learn their wives, wives must always learn their husbands and what allow their husbands to feel respected or disrespected.
Well, that's how we get our validation, that mm-hmm. we're in total service mode. Like you're the chief servant of the house. And you should be willing to lay down your life, right? And what a lot of guys don't get is that you're the priest. The responsibility of those children knowing the Lord is not on the shoulders of your wife.
It's you're talking you. My language.
Before money, before business, before ministry, before building a house, right?
You're talking my language there, right? And we homeschool, so my wife is responsible for a wife can be responsible for math, science, reading, history, but the Bible, and a wife can read the Bible with her kids, talk the Bible with her kids, but Ephesians 6 clearly puts the spiritual admonition on the husband's shoulders, and so that's why we read the Bible as a family in the evenings.
How many women have you had come to you now? I know this is very prevalent in Florida. Because we have lots of retirees, lots of older folks. Many women from the 60s now are regret. I know before my mom died, she said, I never wanted to be emancipated. I wanted to keep my superiority. Now, you might laugh at that, but there's actually something to it. But anyway, so these women are filled with great regret that I wish, you know, they said a woman needs a man like a rabbit needs a bicycle or something, like a fish needs a bicycle or something. And ha 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 ha. And then now it's years later and they're going, I wish I'd had a family instead of this corporate job.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much time we have left, Brett, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I have to affirm what you're saying. And there are studies, secular studies, not Christian studies, secular studies supporting what you're saying, showing, demonstrating the declining happiness of women since they have abandoned God's roles and responsibilities for them. Secular studies showing the greater rates of depression and discouragement among women as they have pursued the lives that are outside God's plan or design for them. And so, I'm very convinced of, as you can tell, traditional conservative values. But what I would really say is biblical roles, biblical values. And that's where I think a woman's value does come from.
Well, a tender and gentle spirit in a woman is of great value in the eyes of God.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m. or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
One bleeding breath, no strength is left. Her cries for help have been disregarded. The face of death, all too familiar in her town. Can hope be found? Who's to say this child can't grow up and live to